would, take your gray hymnals and turn with me to hymn number 299. Come, you thankful people, come. When you find that, please stand with me as we sing. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, turn in the same hymnal at this time to hymn number 65.
Thank you. morning. Welcome to the morning worship service, Grace Baptist Church. It's great to see you all here. We have some who are out sick and some who are on the road. It's great to have you, especially guests. Welcome. I have just a few announcements. We do have a lunch today and then a 1 o'clock service. We won't have church, the midweek service this coming Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. So our last Thanksgiving service will be this afternoon. We're going to just have a wonderful time of sharing what we're thankful for. So please stay for the 1 o'clock service if you can. No midweek service, as I say, this week. And believe it or not, in a few weeks, it's Christmas program time. And that means we'll have a soup dinner Friday. I believe it's 5 o'clock. That would be December 16th. And then a Christmas program here following that, cantata and other things musical. Anyway, there's a sign-up sheet in the back there for those who could please help out in the way we serve our community with the soup dinner. We would like a number of different kinds of soups to be made, so if you want to sign up for one of those. Also, we'll need help in setting up and cleaning up afterwards and so on. But it's all there on the clipboard, and appreciate your showing a spirit of volunteerism and helping it make a special day by your participation. Ushers, come forward, please, and it's time for us to have our morning offering. Josh Hunter, lead us in prayer. Thank you.
Our next hymn this morning will be hymn number 61 in your gray hymnals. Hymn number 61, when you find that, would you please stand once again as we sing?
We'll be turning to Psalm 34 today. The goal today will be for all of us to improve our skill and practice of giving thanks. Different people are skilled at different things. Somebody can throw a great baseball. Somebody can bake a great cake. Some people are talented at wiring this or building that or singing these things. About all the skills that a human being can develop, one of the very, very most important is thanksgiving. How can we improve? What is godly thanksgiving? Those who don't know the Lord, they're people who are remarkably untrained in how to be thankful. And many who do know the Lord, not much better at being thankful. But I tell you, there are few things more important. And I think there are a few places to go to learn how to be thankful better than this, Psalm 34. I mean, it's really one of the more remarkable things. You know the story. This is, in your Bible, it might say Abimelech. That's the title. The name of the person is Achish. He's one of the leaders of the Philistines. David's a young man, somewhere in his 20s probably. He's on the lam. His own king, King Saul, is pursuing him, trying to kill him. So David's out of the Israel territory, and he's over where the Philistines are, the sworn enemies. It's an odd situation. Now he finds himself in the presence of one of the great kings of the Philistines, Achish. And some of the other Philistines say to their king, King Achish, this is David. You know who David is? He's got this reputation for killing thousands of us. And here he is right in your presence. We need to clear him out. We need to knock him off. We need to put an end to him right now. David hears this. And I don't know if he had any time to hatch this plan. I don't know if he's embarrassed about it later. It's hard to know for sure, but it's kind of an odd thing. He starts acting like he's crazy. He starts drooling and flopping around and scratching the walls, and it's looking like he's mad. His idea, maybe God will work through this. I don't know what the Lord is going. I mean, he can work through anything, he can work through this. And maybe it was just the right thing to do. Maybe the Lord and he had it all planned out. Maybe he meditated on it ahead of time. I think not. I mean, if this goes the wrong way, it's like super humiliating. Made a fool out of himself, still died. But you see, the Lord will take whatever effort, at least we know this much, the Lord can take any human effort and he can make it turn out right. And he can make Achish say, what do I need another madman in here for? Get him out of here and spare his life. The Lord could direct that or do many other such things. But this psalm is written based on that experience. We receive here training in thanksgiving. I think it would be beneficial for us to read the whole psalm. Watch for tips on how to be thankful, please, as we read this 22-verse psalm, Psalm 34. Would you please stand with me? I know you've stood plenty already, but I think it would be good to stand in honor of the reading of God's word and then a prayer. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So love the scriptures. May we pray. Truly, our God is a great God. So far above our highest and best thoughts, deeper, wider, more wondrous. A God who can labor in the hearts of all the people represented here from before they were born, from the foundations of the world, did he know them? Did he care, direct? Now God is involved with each of us such that he knows our very thoughts, our motives, our desires, our contemplations, our imaginations, our words, our deeds, where we've been, where we are, where we're going, whom we love and whom we hate, our aspirations. God knows us thoroughly. Our names are written in his book. He has a destiny. He has a will. He has sent his son to die for us. Oh, how right it is to thank this God. For what would life be without a merciful, gracious God? Lord, we pray, bless all who are here and all who are listening. Bless with an understanding as never before of how right it is to thank you and to thank you continuously and to have gratitude be upon our lips all the day long. And may all that we say and all we do draw glory to you, because all glory is what you deserve. Bless us now, please, as we study these words. Make this a day to be remembered. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Training in Thanksgiving from Psalm 34. So what lessons about Thanksgiving do we learn? Did you observe as we read that text? I'm going to give a few. This is the first one, really quite obvious. Thanksgiving is to occur at all times. David says, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. See, the scriptures say, you know, even lost people can be thankful when things are going great. The spiritually shallow may be thankful to God selectively. But a mark of growing maturity as a Christian is that you see the Lord involved in everything and bless him in everything. I will bless the Lord at all times. Financially high, financially low times. Good health, bad health. Good friends, no friends. Family things going well, family things not going well at all. Trouble with the government, things going well with the government. Church, finances, aspirate, everything. A person learns to be thankful at all times. We just sang, great is thy faithfulness. Those words, of course, come from Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, where he's listing the horror of everything that's happening all around him. And after listing those horrors, he says, great is thy faithfulness. He can give God thanks. This is wisdom. We'll be growing in maturity when this becomes your and my practice in all things, where we are thankful at all times. This is the pledge of David. If we only had verse 1, there would be significance enough in this message. I, maybe somebody else not, but I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That leads us to the second observation. That gratitude we have is to be continually spoken. Excuse me. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. God has given us great power in our words. It isn't enough just to contemplate and be thankful to God, but we should be speaking our gratitude, regularly speaking it. The Bible says, is it Proverbs 28, about verse 15, somewhere around there, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Joshua is told, chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So we should be declaring, speaking regularly, blessing others by it. You know that every careless word that we utter will give account to them on the day of judgment. And if we're speaking blessings and gratitude continually, then we can't be speaking lesser things, gross things, vulgar things, empty things, vain things. No, here's a high and holy and profitable pledge. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Get around this person, and she's just going to be talking, thank you, thank you, thank you about God all the time. In my position as a pastor, as people find out if I'm a pastor, they'll say, well, what are you preaching on Sunday? Or they'll say, well, what have you been studying? Or what are your thoughts? God just keeps opening these doors, and you can continually see something thankful about God. If you have bad weather, what a wonderful opportunity to be thankful, because people complain because it's cold, complain because it's windy, here comes snow or something else. But you have decided that your praise for God will continually be in your mouth. And so you say something positive. Praise God for what He sent us and all of that. So, number three. Proper thanksgiving requires humility. That's what we see in verse 2. My soul shall make her boast, not in self, but in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. See, life isn't about us. People shouldn't be thinking, well, what about me? Or do you see what I've done and what have I accomplished? But rather, our mind is just thinking through constantly what God has done, what God has accomplished. And humble people can deny selves and think on these things. The more humble we are, the more inclined we are to be thankful. We see, fourthly, that thanksgiving magnifies the Lord. It's a beautiful verb there, magnify. If you were to take a magnifying glass and put it over the Lord, so to speak, and he enlarges. We have an old saying about the elephant in the room, and I hope this doesn't sound sacrilegious or disrespectful, but it might be more accurate to say God is the elephant in the universe. Wherever you look, wherever you go, it's the Lord. And whatever the event is, whatever the occasion is, whatever we're going through, speak well of the Lord and increase your respect and others who hear for the Lord. Thanksgiving is a wonderful thing because it magnifies the Lord. And by the way, note that he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I count four times in this psalm where he says, oh. This one is in, verse 3, then verse 8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Then verse 9, O fear the Lord. And then a little bit later there is the fourth O. We'll get to it in just a minute. O magnify the Lord with me, O taste and see, O fear, O fear the Lord. Oh, 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 this is a very intense psalm, is what I want to say. I noticed that when we looked at the prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 in our previous hour, when it comes to the conclusion, four times in a single verse there, Daniel says, oh, 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 oh. There's an intensity. There's a throwing your soul into this. This is what you enjoy doing, and you mean it from the bottom of your heart, and you're calling for others to join with you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You see, fifthly, the thanksgiving provides fellowship. Let us exalt his name together. We had a pleasant fellowship last Wednesday. There was a missionary candidates, and they wanted to be missionaries to Argentina. third generation. Grandpa's been there for many years. Then he passed away. Then dad, been there for 20, 30 years. Now here's son and his wife, who is from Chile originally, knows the language, knows the culture very well in Argentina. And we hope to be able to help send them on their way. But after the service is here, we went home, and Brother George and his wife came with us to our house, and we had an evening together, and the next morning breakfast together. And the fellowship, Brother George was explaining, that's his last name, George, Benjamin George, that he had a successful business, landscaping, as a young man. He still is a young man. But he saw that God was calling him into the ministry, and so he started accruing this money to pay for his way to be a missionary. But then other needs would come up, and he felt led, so he'd give generously to this need at the cost of not having what he needed to go on the mission field himself. And then this need came up, and he gave to that. And then this one, and he said something he learned there as a young man was, you give, and the Lord gives back. The Lord takes care of you. If the Lord has prompted you and you follow his prompting, he'll take care of you. And he gave me examples again and again how if you would give away a certain amount in ways you wouldn't expect it, you don't do it to get money back. But here it was. It came back, maybe the same amount exactly. And I thought, that is such a good testimony. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And I went through a number of times with like illustrations. We found ourselves brought into this sweet fellowship as we were exalting his name together. Thanksgiving is a wonderful way to provide fellowship. Number six, it looks in the right place. Yes, I sought the Lord. That's the explanation. There might be some practical or natural explanation for why this or that happens, but behind it all is the Lord. And you and I are to see the Lord in everything. We read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 that the mark of true faith is you see the invisible. And so you see the hand of the Lord behind, in front of, upholding all things. So I sought the Lord. And when we do that, we find, seventhly, it affects the face. This has been a charge we've had here through the last 30 years of this church. It is important for us to give witness. And one of the best witnesses that we can give is we have more and more of a sweet fellowship with God as we seek his face, and we have a relationship with him, and it enlightens our face. We're told, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready to give answer to everyone who asks the reason of the hope that is in you. They see the hope in your face. They see the hope in your countenance. Psalm 4 and verse 6 says, there be many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. You see, this is a testimony verse. First four verses, David is speaking about his situation. And now he gives a little historical vignette, not unlike David to give a principle and then a historical support of it, and then he'll make an application to his life. So here he's talking past tense. Somebody, they, looked unto him. Who is that they? Might have been in the time of Moses. You know, Moses was exposed to the Lord and the presence of the Lord and the law of the Lord, and his face shone as he left. Maybe that's what David has in mind here. They looked unto him, and we're lightened. And that word for lightened there means sparkled, glistening, brightened, and their faces were not ashamed. David says there is a historical precedence for seeing the Lord in everything, giving thanks to him constantly with your speaking, and the Lord has a way of drawing you into a fellowship with him, and your face is radiant. It's one of the best testimonies you and I could possibly give. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, the book of Proverbs says. And number eight, thanksgiving provides a testimony. Here's David. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Yes, David, acting like he's insane, and he's scrabbling his fingernails on the walls, and he's drooling, the spittle is on his beard, and he looks crazy. He's trying to, now, this out of the blue, has he never tried this before? Has he observed it? I just wonder if he has kind of a silly side to him. Is this the kid coming out? Is this a plan here? I don't know. But he can take even this, which some might be a little embarrassed to have to be your test. I can give you an embarrassing testimony. Yesterday I went to wash my car, and I filled the tank up first so that the car wash price was a little reduced. So then I went through the car wash, and then I looked in my side view mirror, and there's my gas cap wide open. All that water, all that soap, I don't know how much went in the car. I called a mechanic after that, and I said, what do I do? And he said, I just keep topping it off, keep topping to dilute however it got in there. We'll just see what happens. And see, this is a poor man here. We did a silly thing. I'm just saying, I don't know, we can make mistakes, we can be human beings, but whatever we toss into the hands of God, God knows how to take care of it. He can knock anything out of the park. And I think that's what's being said here. Have as a way of life giving thanks to God. And God's going to provide you testimonies. So you have something you can declare for the fellowship and encouragement of the believers. And as I said, it sees the invisible. Thanksgiving does. In verse 7, David says this, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Now, where did this come from? Well, you think about what we read in the book of Daniel, when Daniel was dropped into that lion's den. The government leader comes out the next morning, "Daniel, does it fare well with you?" And he answers, "Yes." How does he explain it? He says, "The angel of the Lord shut the mouths of the lions." Isn't that something? The angel of the Lord. So maybe this is what David saw here. He acts wild in front of Achish and all these people. He gets out, he makes it, he's alive. And maybe he perceives that there's something angelic about this happening. The angel of the Lord encampeth. This is biblical. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That's what Elisha saw. Elisha was with his servant there up there in Dothan. And the Syrian host is there. All these bad guys are the horses and chariots and swords and arrows. They're going to crush him. Just the prophet and his servant. The servant says, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" And Elisha says, "Lord, open up the eyes of the servant to see what I see." And what does he see? Horses and chariots and angels round about, all round about. As I was practicing this sermon earlier this morning, the Lord doesn't need to do this. I said, "Lord, I've been preaching this verse a long time." And you know, you go back two chapters to Psalm 32, verse 7, and that's where it says that the Lord surrounds his people with songs of deliverance. I think, who's singing the songs? And is that a companion verse to this 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord? Anyway, I went out. I said, "You don't have to do this, Lord, but just once. I would just love to see the angels camp around here." I pray it virtually every Sunday that the Lord would give us a wall of protection to keep away the demonic influences, to incline us toward God. And I pray, "Lord, if you would set about us angels, but their songs of deliverance." Well, I went and I looked and I didn't see. I don't need it. I would love to have it, but we see with the eyes of faith, right? We trust the word of God as if we were there. In fact, the word of God is the most important confirmation to us. See, and that's what Thanksgiving is. You see the involvement of God in everything. Everything. What you think is good, what you think is bad. What you think is awful, ugly, you have social problems, you have government problems, all this. You see the Lord in everything, and you trust he's able to do a good thing. That's what I'm going to speak about this afternoon. He can take anything and turn it into something good in our personal lives, throughout all history. So, principle number 10, this Thanksgiving that we have rises from contact with God. That's what we see there with this second O. Oh, taste and see, verse 8, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, taste and see. Come into contact with the living God. We're not speaking hypothetically here, but if there were a God, this is the kind of things that he would do. But we're saying there is a living God with whom I have contact, and you can too. Taste and see. Come into fellowship with God and see if what I say is not true. Oh, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Often we quote John 14:21. Jesus said, "He who has my words and keepeth them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Taste and see. You can be brought into fellowship with the living God, I say. And it's a matter of outcome from being thankful as a way of life. Thus, it is linked to holy living. You notice that the second half of the psalm, David spends quite a bit of counsel saying this sort of thing. Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. You want to have fellowship with God? It is connected to purposing to live a holy life. You don't earn fellowship with God by living a holy life, but the scriptures do say, be holy, for I am holy. The scriptures do say in Psalm 15, Lord, who shall dwell in thy presence? Who shall abide in thy holy hill? Who gets to be close to the fellowship of God? God answers, he who does this, 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 these things. It's a purposing in the heart as best you can to be transformed into the likeness of God, and God has a way of drawing us in. And so you want to have a truly thankful heart. It is linked to a holy life. And this is the final observation, not done with the message yet, but I wanted to lead up to this. Did you notice in throughout this psalm, a major theme is deliverance? I think there are a good four verses that address that. Deliverance. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's what he's thankful for. You know what delivered means? It means rescued. God came and took me away to safety. He delivered me. I sought the Lord, he delivered me. That's the theme. Verse 4, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Delivers, 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 delivers. That's why I'm thankful. I get into this trouble, I get into that trouble. These are conditions overwhelming. What's going on inside of me? What's going on in this world? What do? God deliver me. I'm so thankful that you rescued me from myself, from others, from my confusion. Yes, this is what God is. He's a great deliverer. So let's sum up what we've seen so far by looking at Psalm 34. Thanksgiving is to occur at all times. That's a mark of maturity. If you can't thank God except for the good times, you're shallow if you're saved at all. Growing in godliness means we are learn how, and not just in word, but from the heart, truly thankful in all conditions. And it's to be spoken continually. Very important to be speaking it. It requires humility. It magnifies the Lord. It provides fellowship. It looks in the right place. It affects the face. It provides a testimony. It sees the invisible. It rises from contact with God. It is linked to holy living. It has deliverance as a major theme. That's what we've learned so far. Now I want to get something very practical in application with us to conclude. So we're focusing on thanksgiving for deliverance. Christian, have you been delivered? This afternoon we're going to talk together, and I hope you can get examples of where you've been delivered. If you can't think of anything from which you've been delivered, I don't know how grateful you can be. Because God is the great rescuer. This is what he does. He goes about delivering. Do you thank God for it? Do you tell others? Context of Psalm 34, as we said, David changes his behavior before a Philistine king and is delivered from danger. He was this close to losing his head. I mean, he was right there. He was right in front of the king of the enemy, and all right there with the soldiers. They're ready to go. And David gets out alive, but I can see him go, that was close. That's the context here. He was in great danger. And even though there was this device David used, ultimately he gives God the credit. God delivered me. Deliverance. God raises up deliverers. That's what he did with David. David became the great deliverer for the nation. He pushed off the enemy to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, reclaimed all the land. He's a great deliverer. But as I went through the scriptures, I found again and again and again the Bible says the Lord raised up a deliverer. This is what the Lord does. He raises up deliverers. Judges 3, verse 15. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. That would be Ehud, the son of Gera. Judges 3, 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. So there are judges. Almost every judge is called this. God sent a deliverer, 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 deliverer. But here's the great deliverer. It's in the inaugural address of Jesus Christ. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 61 here, and it's quoted here in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus said, this is why I came, to declare deliverance to the captives. Deliverance. So God raises up deliverers. Second lesson. We should know and express our thanks for the things which God delivers his people. The things from which God delivers his people. What have you been delivered from? There are quite a few. I'm going to give you three answers, and then we'll be done for today. Here are three things from which God delivers his people. The first one is premature death, physical death. I'm not talking spiritual here, not talking the soul, not talking demonic activity necessarily, but physical death. For example, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. In other words, God has complete control over this death thing. He can take anybody who's been dead for a moment, for a day, for an hour, for four days, for centuries. He can take anyone dead, and when he wants to, he'll raise them up back to life. God has complete power over death. And Paul says, now people are trying to kill us all the time. They're always trying to kill us. In fact, there are people who have taken out an oath that they will not eat until we die. They try to whip us to death. They try to cane us to death. They try to stone us to death. You got your shipwrecks. You got your wild beasts. A sentence of death, 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 death everywhere. But it pushes us to do this. Trust in God to keep us alive as long as he wants us to be alive. So we trust in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Again, our verb is deliver. He did deliver, past tense. He is delivering, and he's going to deliver us right on until the day that God has already marked for me to go on home. This is one thing God does. I tell you, as long as you're in the will of God, friend, and you're a believer, you are invincible until it's time for the Lord to take you home. Now, we don't want to abuse that. We don't want to be presumptuous and do crazy and dangerous things. And there is such a thing as being so unproductive that the perfect will of God is not accomplished in us, and he may take you home early. But I'm saying, as Christians who are following, and I could develop this much more, I don't have the time to do today, I'm saying it's a very encouraging thing when you talk about what God delivers us from. He has a way to keep you alive, as long as he wants to keep you alive. Second text we could go to is 2 Timothy 4:18. There Paul says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He's the only one who did. Everybody else forsook him, Paul complains. Everybody left me, but the Lord stayed with me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know what that's a reference to? That's Daniel in the lion's den, right? I think that's what he's talking about here. Daniel says, I was put down in a den of lions. All these hungry lions around here. Here came the angel. Close the mouths of every lion. Daniel and Paul says, same thing for me. I was not physical lions, but metaphorically, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. To the moment he's willed for me to die, that's it. You know, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in Matthew 6:27, this is my paraphrase, but because in the King James it says, can add one cubit to his stature, which is something that some of us don't really know what it means. But here's the idea behind it. Which of you, however anxiously you vex yourselves about it, can add so much as a step to the length of your life's journey? God's already measured it out. You have 300,421 steps, and you have 17 to go. Or no, whatever it might be. And you can't do anything to go any longer than that. The Lord has a way of protecting you. I'm telling you, we should be thankful for this. Oh, we just about had a car accident there. Cancer could have gotten me here. Who knows what would have happened? Oh, that was so close. It just ducked and missed. I could have died that moment. The Lord's in charge of this. And you can give thanks that He is in control of delivering you from physical death when it's premature. That's one thing. But let's go on to something a little more spiritual. The evil inclinations of our own souls. We need deliverance from that. Paul talks about that, of course, in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 23. I see another law in my members, Paul says, warring against the law of my mind. There's a war going on inside of me, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, torn this way, that way. Here is my mind saying, here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to live. This is the right thing. And then here comes the flesh. Hey, come over here. Oh, no, no. War going on. Who will deliver me from this wretched condition? Who shall deliver me, there's the verb, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. We are delivered from premature physical death. We are delivered from the rotten inclinations of our own wicked soul. We can be delivered from that, the evil inclinations. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans 6:14. And then one more, premature physical death, evil inclinations of our own souls, and the evil world around us, number three. We read in Galatians 1:4, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Yes, this present evil world. I read in our local newspaper, for example, this is something about gender confusion week, heralding that, and people of Native American descent, they have two spirits within them, and this is an inclusive thing. And there's the Episcopal Church, and there's the Presbyterian USA Church, and there's the Congregational Church, all getting behind this confusion of all these gender mistakes that are made, and let's support it. But it's unbiblical, friend. It's representing something which is sin and confusion, need to be repented of and delivered from as something that should be socially acceptable. We receive letters, and we read on the news that the United States Senate is attempting to codify marriage where it includes something other than one man, one woman. You go to Genesis 1 and verse 27. It says, God made them male and female. And Jesus confirms it in Matthew 19 about verse 4 where he says, from the beginning, this is the way it is. Man, woman, they marry, that's it. But here's our government trying to redefine this. What it would make happen, I believe, is that if we were to stand for what is biblical, we will be standing against what the Constitution now declares, and we find ourselves contrary to that. Who knows what direction this is going? But it's an evil world. It's an evil world, I say, around us. And it's going to be getting worse. But Jesus Christ came that he might deliver us from it. Amen? 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of trials, temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to handle death, as I said before. The Lord knows how to handle deliverance of the godly. That's what he does. That's what we're thankful for. In some, I like this comment by the commentator Albert Barnes, and I'm done. I want to conclude. I wanted to include this quotation. The Lord sees a way to deliver us when we cannot. Ever been in that situation where you say, how do I get out of this one? Where do we go from here? I'm caught on all sides. There's no relief. The Lord knows how. He can do the most remarkable things. And it probably will not be what you expected. That's his creativity, his originality, his uniqueness. The Lord sees a way to deliver us when we cannot, though it is often a way which we should not have thought of. He can send an angel to take his tempted people by the hand, Sodom and Gomorrah. He can interpose and destroy the power of the tempter, Job. He can raise up earthly friends, Paul. He says, Paul, get out of town. He can deliver his people completely and forever from temptation by the removal to heaven. God is in the deliverance business. David testifies. He said, I act like a fool. I got out of there alive. This is what God does this for me. He can do it all my life. He can do it all your life. You can give testimony with your words all the days of your life. And let the light of God shine on your face as you do it. And may you find fellowship with other humble people who see the invisible, who join up with you in doing it. Oh, that we would be a thankful people. Come, ye thankful people. Come. And so we conclude with this question. Is the Lord your deliverer? Are you thankful for Him? Can you say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. May we pray. Truly there is one God who is the great deliverer. And Lord, if you would open our eyes that we see every day, everything, every person, every spirit, all that could happen, does happen, might happen in the future, God is in control where He can deliver us. Who knows how many times He snatched us from this fire, from that drowning, from these people, from these demons. Who knows? But, oh Lord, would it not be right for us to say thank you for all the ways that you have delivered us? Could you not open our eyes to see it with greater clarity? And could not you make our hearts to well up in love and gratitude as we see just how intimately involved you've been in all of our ways? Truly, God is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I say thank the Lord. And may we ever be a thankful people. Father, the first step in gratitude is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. What kind of ingratitude is that to respond to the one Savior of the world and resist Him? No, we shall thank you, Lord, for providing a means by which all my sins can be washed away. And so we pray, Lord, as we conclude, that there's a person here or listening elsewhere who has not obeyed the gospel, confessed his fault, repented, believed on Jesus Christ as the one deliverer from the fate which awaits us otherwise. May this be the moment. May this be the day. Even as we're praying, even as now we're going into the final hymn. And this we ask in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Closing hymn this morning will be hymn number 56 in your gray hymnal. Now thank we all our God. Can you find that? Please stand.